Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So the subject is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and we want to look at blessings that we have under Jesus as our Good Shepherd. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to run through some of the things that we talked about last week. We talked up to the first part of verse 3, and then we will continue. The Bible says in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus Christ in the book of John chapter 10 said about three times that he was the good shepherd. He was the shepherd. So this is a messianic psalm. It is only telling us about the Lord Jesus and what blessings we will have when he is our shepherd. David, of course, was looking forward to a wonderful time where we are enjoying right now that Jesus Christ has come, he has died for us, and he is shepherding us. The Bible says that we were like sheep who had gone astray, but now we have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Now, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, Jesus Christ is a unique shepherd. I don't want you to look at him as a normal shepherd, because in the book of Luke chapter 15 verse 1 following, we get to see that Jesus Christ left his 99 sheep who didn't need repentance. I believe that these are not necessarily humans, but they are angels. He left them and then he came looking for that one sheep that had gone astray. And that's talking about humans. That's talking about us. And then when he found us in the wilderness of this earth, he puts us on his shoulder. He never scolds us, puts us on his shoulder and exposes us to rulership as humans in this earth. It is only kings who are carried shoulder high. You know, the shoulder is a symbol of responsibility. When we say that something rests on the shoulder of somebody, it means that that person is responsible for that thing. So putting us on the shoulder is just introducing us to responsibility, that we humans have a responsibility on this earth to rule it in the interests of God and on his behalf. So Jesus Christ is a unique shepherd. That is what makes him a good shepherd. He doesn't scold us when he finds us. He doesn't punish us. He doesn't talk down at us. Jesus always lifts us up. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. He said in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, and really Isaiah chapter 54, which is a fallout of Isaiah chapter 53, the result of Isaiah chapter 53, he said that this is like the waters of Noah to me. In other words, the cross, Jesus dying on the cross, as in Isaiah 53, is like the waters of Noah to me. Just as I swore by the waters of Noah, I swore that I will not destroy the earth with water again, so will I not rebuke you again in anger. Says that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. The mountains shall depart, the hills shall be moved, but my loving kindness shall not be removed from you. Hallelujah. It is because Jesus Christ carried all of our rebuke. He carried all of our sins and all of its consequences according to Isaiah 53. So that is why when he finds the sheep, he doesn't scold us. He says, I will never be angry with you nor rebuke you. In other words, I won't rebuke you in anger. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And that is how God wants us to feel pampered. And in verse 2, he says that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. We also said that Jesus, as a good shepherd, leads us. That's the basic function of the shepherd. He leads the shepherd. All right, so we will not lack leadership in our lives. I want you to put it in your mind that you will never lack leadership because he will lead you. He said, my sheep knows my voice. I go before them and they follow me. That is how it is. So Jesus Christ is going to lead you throughout your life. You will never miss your way. You will never, never miss your way. If you know Jesus is your shepherd, he is so good that you will never miss your way. Hallelujah. He says that, I shall not want, you shall not want leadership. When he leads you, you will not want any other thing in life. All things will come to you when he leads you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that it is the leadership over us that matters. Please, it matters, but not as the leadership within us. The leader within you, you can have a bad leader over you, but with a good leader, listening to the good shepherd within you, you can make progress even when there is retrogression. Hallelujah. You can find water when there is a desert, because he leads you always to profit. So the key thing is the kind of leader you are listening to. Is it the outside leader or the inner leader? Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the leader of all leaders. Hallelujah. There is nobody who should lead you to counter what Jesus is leading you to. It's wonderful. It's powerful. Because when he leads us, we will not want. When human beings lead us, we will want. All right? It's powerful. He says in verse 2 that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Lying down is an example of resting in green pastures, having abundance of green pastures. And these green pastures, we said, refers to fresh food that the sheep is supposed to eat, that we are supposed to feed upon. The fact that there is green pasture means that there is not so green pasture, there is withered pasture. It is food, all right. You can feed upon it, but it is not fresh. It is not current. We say that there is a present truth that goes with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an understanding of the scriptures that is fresh, that is green, that nourishes the sheep. They are the words from the Lord Jesus. They are the words of Christ that must dwell richly in you. You can feed on other words and your stomach will be full, but you will not be feeding properly. Hallelujah. You will not have the nourishment that you must have as a citizen of his blessed kingdom. So green pastures is talking about the fresh ones which just came up, not the old ones. It's talking about a fresh understanding you must eat, not the old withered pasture. So there is present truth according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 also, and then there is past truth. They are all truth, but one is what you should feed upon richly. It doesn't mean that you don't know the other, you know. You must know it, but many times they are not for practice. What we should practice are the fresh understanding that Jesus as a kingdom word brought, that is supposed to be our main diet. Hallelujah. All others are supposed to be like diets that we have eaten before, that we look at just to be able to differentiate the present one we should eat. You must know God is like that. He gives you an old one before he brings his full counsel. You understand that? That's his principle. He always brings the Adam before he brings the last Adam. He always brings Esau before he brings Jacob. He always brings Ishmael before he brings who? Isaac. He always brings Manasseh before he brings Ephraim. But Ephraim is the fruitful one. Manasseh is the firstborn, yes. But he always does things like that. That is why he brought old pasture that we have been eating. Now he comes, he says that, as a good shepherd, I lead you to the kingdom word. Fresh pasture, new understanding that you should feed upon. Hallelujah. And fill your stomach with it, nourishes the believer for his rulership assignment in this world. That's powerful. Hallelujah. And then he says that he leads me beside the still waters. Jesus as your shepherd leads you beside, in the margin of the New King James Version and also the King James Version, actually in the Hebrew, he talks about waters of rest. He leads us to waters of rest. In other words, Under Jesus, your good shepherd, he does all the work and you should do nothing. You should enjoy everything. That is why he puts us on his shoulder. Not because the sheep hasn't got legs to walk in this life, but because he wants the sheep to be on the shoulder and see ahead and let him do the walking. Let him do all the things that has to be done and you enjoy the benefits of it, like righteousness, like health, like peace, like glory. Hallelujah. Like holiness. You enjoy it, not because you labored, not because you made some walking effort to reach it, but because you were just resting on somebody's shoulder and he was carrying you. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to sweat it out. That is why in the Old Testament he said that the priest should never sweat. He said it indirectly, but it meant that what he said was that they shouldn't wear woolen, all right, or materials that will make them sweat, because he doesn't like sweat. He doesn't like your own effort. He likes to do all the work because he likes to take all the glory. If you do some of the work, you'll be inclined, tempted, no matter who you are, you'll be tempted to be proud. But when you know that all the things have been done, and you are just resting in what has been done, and you are just resting in what promotes the Lord Jesus, his person, his principle, and his performance for us, then there is nothing that you can boast about. Then there is nothing that you can be puffed up one against the other. You look at all your brothers and you know that we are all righteous in the sight of God. You look at all your brothers and you know that we are all loved by God. And that informs you the way you relate with other people. No matter what they have done to you, you love them. Because no matter what they have done, God loves them. He did it so that we would follow his wonderful example. Hallelujah. So he leads us to waters of rest so that we would have his grace. You know what? He came full of grace and truth. And the thing is that grace is always in the place of rest. The areas of your life where there is rest, where you are cool and collected, that is why the grace of God will come. The areas of your life where you are anxious, you are agitated, you don't have inner rest, that is where you will lack grace. That is where things will be messed up. But where you have committed to Jesus and you are not worried about, you'll be amazed. That area of rest, whether it's in your financials, it's in your marriage, it's in whatever, your ministry, that is where grace will be poured in. So the Bible says in the book of Genesis 6:8, the first time grace is mentioned, that Noah, which means rest, found grace in the sight of the Lord. And I told you on Sunday about Solomon, whose name is a derivative of the Hebrew word shalom, Solomon, shalom, which means rest. And Solomon rested. Actually, he was asleep and God gave him wisdom. Can you imagine that? He didn't work for it. He just slept and God gave him wisdom. When he slept, he woke up and he realized that I am wise. Not by making any effort, just by what? Resting. Hallelujah. That is why Solomon wrote that psalm in Psalm 127. It's a psalm of Solomon where he said that except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. His name means rest. He knows what resting in the Lord will mean in Gibeon, will mean. And so he said that it is vain for you to wake up early and to sleep late, because he gives, the King James says, to his beloved sleep. He gives to his beloved sleep. But the Hebrew it renders it this way: he gives to his beloved when they are asleep. Solomon wrote that. He knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants us, as a good shepherd, no sweat, no struggle, just rest. I'll lead you to still waters, and I told you that they are deep waters. Still waters are always deep because there are dimensions in him. You can never say that you have arrived in Jesus. There is always chance for opportunity for growth in him. Now, we also say, he restores my soul. The soul is the will, the mind, and the emotions. It needs a restoration because it can be depleted. Restore is that he puts something in the store. He put back into the store. He restores our will, our mind, and our emotions. Hallelujah. Emotions, like all the emotions that you can think about. God wants to restore it and make it full so that we can express it. Hallelujah. Sometimes our will becomes weak. It becomes mingled. We don't know really what we want. Do we want this or do we want that? We are not very stable in our will. But when he restores your will has got all the power to be able to help you to do the things that you want to do. You won't be like Romans chapter 7. The things that I want, the bad things I don't want to do is what I do. And the good things that I want to do, I cannot do it.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Paul said, a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? He said, thanks be to God who did it through Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What it means is that through Jesus, we are restored. Our mind is restored. The power of our mind is restored. Our mind has got performing power. Our will has got performing power. Our emotions also get restored. He restores our damaged mentality. Our damaged mentality. And you have to get the restoration over and over and over. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 put it this way. He says that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now renewing is from two words, re and new. It means that it was made new first. And renew it. You understand that? It's not like an old thing that is being made new. It is new, but it is renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed because there are dimensions in him. There is no way you can stick to that one because there are dimensions in him. It's a renewing of the mind. Not a replacement of the old with a new. A renewing. Hallelujah. Now let's move on to verse 4. What we want to talk about. No, verse 3b. He leads me in the path of righteousness. As a good shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Please underline for his name's sake. Do you know what that one means? It means that what he has in mind in leading you goes beyond you. What Jesus is doing in your life, you think it's about you. But he wants you to get a picture, if he is your good shepherd, that it is not just about you, it is beyond you. It is his kingdom thing. Hallelujah. Why will God struggle this much? So to speak, leading you in a path of righteousness. He says that for his name's sake, it's a kingdom thing, it's not your thing. Hallelujah. For his name's sake, not for your name's sake, not for your image's sake. Because sometimes things happen to us and we think that, well, why should it happen to me? How possible? Ladies and gentlemen, understand that what Jesus as a good shepherd does is beyond you. His aim, his focus goes far beyond you. He is aiming at his rule, his kingdom coming on this earth. In your world. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, don't be too focused on you. If you become too focused on you, there are going to be problems all around you. Actually, it is insecure people who are always focused on themselves. They always talk about themselves, how great they are, how good they are. They want you always to talk about them and nobody else. Do you know why? Because they don't feel secure. But if you have a good shepherd, that is Jesus Christ over you, he wants you to feel complete and secure in yourself in such a way that you can forget about you. You can forget about your name. You can forget about your image. And just as he forgot about himself and came down looking for us, we will also follow his example, forget about us and focus on him. His name's sake, not our name's sake. So ladies and gentlemen, let us think about his name, not your name. Anytime you feel that, well, somebody is trying to disrespect me and all that, I want you to do like David, who wrote the psalm. He will say something like, well, leave him. He will not think that he is so powerful that nobody should question him. He will not think that he is so powerful that nobody should throw stones at him. Nobody should throw mud at him. Who are you that no human being can throw mud at you? They threw it at the master. They threw it at the master. They called him a mad person, so to speak. They called him demon possessed. Huh? They called him somebody who was using the power of the devil. Who are you? Who do you think you are? When Jesus can be questioned by his apostles, why do you speak to them in parable? What does this one mean? Why can't I, you and I, be questioned? Why is it that now we can't be questioned? Because questioning means what? They are spoiling your image. No, you don't have any image. It's the image of the good shepherd that we must look at. What I'm saying to you, think about it deeply. Otherwise, you'll be too full of yourself and you'll push everybody down, and around you nobody will feel good. Everybody will feel like a dwarf, and there is only one good person among us. And they call Jesus good teacher. He says, don't call me good. There is only one good, God. Does it mean that he felt he was bad? No. What was he teaching? This lesson. Don't focus on your name. Don't focus on your image. Focus on who? His namesake. For his namesake, you may have to endure those questions. For his namesake, you might have to endure all those mud being thrown at you. For his namesake, somebody whom you divide yourself into two cannot come very close to you in this world. Because you can draw rings around the person. The person can disrespect you. The person can say bad things about you and even snub you. And you look at yourself in the world. Who are you to stand before me? Not so. For his name's sake, we have to endure all these things. Hallelujah. Jesus is the good shepherd. He says, I will lead you in the path of righteousness. And never think that it is because you are that wonderful person that you are like that. You know, you are always right. You are always righteous because you are super. He said that he did it for his name's sake. Because the whole thing goes beyond us. That is why sometimes things happen to us that we don't understand. Listen, let me tell you something about God. Never forget this. If he didn't spare his only son, called Jesus, but released him to come and suffer shamefully, he will not spare you. Oh, yes. He would never. Don't think you were so important as the apple of his eye. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. You can say all these things, but listen, the thing is beyond you. When he came on earth, he told the apostles, you think you chose me? I chose you. You don't know what I am doing. You think you are the one who is doing something for your name and things like that. That I have chosen the Lord. I love the Lord. I have given myself. I have sacrificed for the Lord. As for me, I pray. I dedicate myself. Other people are not dedicated. Listen. The thing is beyond you. If you focus on yourself, you will push everything down. And the potential of people will never come up. And people will feel little before you, but not his sheep. Jesus always lifts up his sheep. He never talks down at his sheep. He always lifts them up. Sometimes in the face of something bad that they are doing, when he's talking to them, do you know how he talks to them? Read Revelations. He will tell them, I know you. You are great. You are this. you are that, but there is something you are doing which is not correct. And then you end by saying, repent. Hallelujah. It's wonderful the way Jesus does it, because he will not always chide. Hallelujah. For his name's sake, everything that we are doing, let us think about his name's sake. If the thing is going to glorify his name, never mind, for his name's sake. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, he knows how to build your name better than you building a name. That is why he told the apostles. Do you know who he told, I'll build my church? He told the leaders. He was going to lead them. He told them, I will build my church. I think he needed to tell them, because they will feel that they are the people, the thing, the whole thing is revolving around them. The whole thing is about them, and they will be so focused on themselves. But he told the leaders that I will do it, because I want to do all the work and take all the glory. Hallelujah. You just trust me and I will lead you in right paths for my name's sake. Because of his name, I want to prophesy to you that you will never, never fall into sin.
Amen.
For his name's sake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes when things are happening to you, just tell God, God, it's not unto me. Look, I bear your name. For your name's sake, check those demons. For your name's sake, take me out of this. Sometimes we are too focused on ourselves, that me, Lord, we are suffering. Lord, you want us to enjoy. Lord, you have promised me that everything that I desire, and you are too selfish in prayer. But you have to tell him, Lord, for your sake, come to my rescue. Because then you put the whole answer to the prayer, the whole undesirable situation you want removed, you place it in his court. Not in your court, that for him to remove. You tie him and his name to it. Because I've told you, if he never spared his own son, only begotten son, but he released him because he wanted a reintroduction of his empire on this earth, he can also sacrifice you for his kingdom to come. Oh yes, for his kingdom to come. Because Jesus as a good shepherd, it doesn't mean that everything, you get everything. There are some things you don't get for his name's sake. If you do for his name's sake, then you are not worried. You are not worried. Hallelujah. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. And it is in Jesus. In Jesus, they are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. It's only in him that they are yea and they are amen. That's why we pray in his name. In his name means for his sake, not for our sake, for his sake. Says that if you ask anything in my name, it means that your name is lost. The focus is not you, it's his name. So if he doesn't answer, why should you be annoyed? If truly it is for his name's sake. I said, well, God, if you do it, fine. If you don't do it, me, I don't. I mean, I'm in one place. I'm a goalkeeper. Hallelujah. You are doing your thing. Let us push it all onto him. Kingdom people must seek first the kingdom of God. Be kingdom-minded and not self-focused. We should be what? Christ-focused, Christ-minded, not self-focused. If the devil wants to defeat you, he will let you focus on yourself. Because then, Jesus cannot come in the way he wants to. But if you focus on Jesus, the devil knows. If your focus is Jesus and his name's sake, then he's done for. Because then the armies of the kingdom are going to rush down to defend the name in which you pray. Hallelujah. For his name's sake, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Verse 4. Jesus, as the good shepherd, what are the blessedness we enjoy under him? He says that, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. He's talking about Jesus leading you from verse 3, 3b, right? And then he says, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. In other words, I like to understand it this way. Though you will walk in your own way, in your own path. Well, sometimes when he's leading us in the path of righteousness, practically you know what happens. You have a struggle. Sometimes you go your own way. You know, he wants you to pass a particular side of the path. You're on a different side of the path. You go your own way. And sometimes I walk in with my children. We are on the right path. Is that right? But I tell them, don't pass the bush. Don't be too near the bush, which is flanking the path. There's a bush path. Come to the center. All right? David says that if he is your good shepherd, even though you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, in your own way, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's wonderful. How good is our shepherd? How good is our shepherd? Will he leave you when you are on your own path? Will he leave you? Or he's going to recover you? He's going to recover you. That is why David says that though I am doing my own thing, because sometimes in God leading us in his path, the right path, our human tendencies come in. Still don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Still don't be afraid, because he is with you.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.